transmitting live from the heart of Times Square on 99.5 FM, WBAI New York, Pacifica Radio for the tri-state area. This is Trump Watch, a weekly series examining how President Donald J. Trump and his administration are changing the world we live in. I'm your host, Jesse Lent.
Conrad Tokyo, Sparrow, Pistachio, Justin Nashville, Dog is on sabbatical, rather watch today.
17 different states joined the leadership of New York to come to get an accurate count in our census. It was a spirited debate. Everyone spoke, with the exception of Justice Thomas, and they brought many points out. And first of all, the census is supposed to count everyone. It's supposed to enumerate, count everyone, and be as accurate as possible. And this is important because our representation is based on the census numbers. So if you're not counted, you're not represented. And the census numbers, in terms of federal dollars, impact every year on where over $700 billion are spent for the needs of people, for housing, for health care. It's based on census numbers.
That was Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney of New York speaking at a press conference outside the U.S. Supreme Court building on April 23rd, footage courtesy of C-SPAN. Congresswoman Maloney and elected officials from around the country had gathered inside only moments before to hear the nine justices ask questions during the oral arguments for a lawsuit that the court had agreed to hear, challenging a new question the Trump administration is proposing to add to the 2020 census, a question concerning whether the survey respondent is a U.S. citizen. Hello and welcome to Trump Watch. For anyone who hasn't ever filled out a census form, the census is a survey of the national population carried out every 10 years as instructed in Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution. The results can affect everything from the way federal funds are distributed to how many members of Congress any one state receives. Here to help us consider what the citizenship question would mean for the census and by extension the country are Wenyi Chin, Senior Management of Civic Engagement for the New York Immigration Coalition, one of the original plaintiffs in the legal action now before the Supreme Court, and Paul Westrick, the NYIC's Manager of Democracy Policy. Hello, Wenyi. Hello, Paul. Welcome to Trump Watch. Thanks so much for taking some time for us today.
Hello, Jesse. Thank you so much for having us on.
Wenyi, can you talk about when the New York Immigration Coalition, or the NYIC for short, got involved in the fight over this citizenship question on the census?
Absolutely. So our coalition, New York Counts 2020 is the coalition that the New York Immigration Coalition engages in our census work. We came together recognizing that the citizenship question is a direct attack on our communities, not just the immigrant community, but all undercounted communities at large. So we came together and we actually filed a lawsuit in the Southern District of New York under a clause of discrimination against communities of color. And we also had a clause on its administrative process. And we had faced this court case, I think, early 2018.
And did I get that right in the intro? Was the NYIC one of the original plaintiffs in this same case that's now before the Supreme Court? It is. Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, heard in the clip we played at the top of the show, went on to mention that three lower courts had ruled against the citizenship question on the census, with her point being that the justices should uphold these decisions and rule against it. What's the recent legal history of the citizenship question up into the Supreme Court?
Yes. So there are three concurrent cases, and these came from various consolidated cases across the country. And here in New York, it was a court case that we had a court case consolidated. It was the New York Immigration Coalition and our partners versus the Department of Commerce, in addition to the New York State. that was leading a separate court case under our Attorney General against the Department of Commerce. And on January 15th, the U.S. District Judge Jesse Furman from the Southern District had ruled in favor of the advocates that in the New York case, the citizenship question ought to be removed from the 2020 census form on the basis that it was not only was it racially motivated, but that there was an administrative procedure that they didn't follow, and that in the addition of the citizenship question, they should have gone through testing, and there was a process that the Commerce Department just ignored completely. Concurrently, there was a court case out in the state of California, and a second federal judge, and this is a federal judge, had rejected the Trump administration, and their argument was that this is directly discriminatory and targeted against communities of color and communities that were already undercounted and will further exacerbate historic undercounts in certain communities. And then a third federal judge out in Maryland had voted similarly on March 27th of 2019. So this was only a month and a half ago, where they also said that the Department of Commerce did not take the right procedure and that the addition of this question would result in a disproportionate undercount.
Paul, speaking of the Department of Commerce, it was obviously Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross who was reportedly the mastermind behind the citizenship question on the census. Can you explain the administration's stated reason for needing this question added?
So the administration's stated position has been that the Department of Justice asked for citizenship information that would come from that could come from the census in order to enforce the Voting Rights Act. What we know is that that was a lie. Emails that were uncovered during the trial in the Southern District of New York, dating back to 2017, show that it was actually the Commerce Department that had reached out to other agencies asking if they could use citizenship information. So it wasn't, as the administration has tried to claim, the Department of Justice saying we need this information. It was the Commerce Department looking to add a citizenship question and then looking for a justification to do so.
What do you believe the administration's real motivation is behind being so keen on adding this question?
And that's a question that we've all been asking. You know, this based on this administration's policies toward immigrants and immigrant communities over the past 2 years now, we can certainly make our assumptions. It is clear that they want this for a specific reason, and they've yet to tell us exactly why.
Wenny, according to one government report cited by Adam Liptak of the New York Times, an estimated 6.5 million people could go uncounted if the citizenship question is included in the census. What are some of the ways that this could affect both the work you do as well as the country at large?
Yes. So this study that you're referencing actually came from Harvard University, and it did say that because of the citizenship question, it will create a minimum of at least 6 million people undercounted in the census. And to be quite frank, we already see the impacts even before the limitation or the possibility of having this citizenship question on the census. Just the news that the government is inquiring about potential status has caused a lot of fear, and that is compounded with seeing the agenda of the entire administration over the course of the past 2 years. So from the advocate's perspective, it certainly has made the work and speaking about the census much more delicate. We are still encouraging our communities to fill it out because, like you had said in the beginning of the show, the census is constitutionally requested of the government to count the persons in this country. It determines how federal dollars are being distributed and affects our political representation. So we are using this to kind of remind everyone that their participation is that important, and not to let the citizenship question or lurking citizenship question impact their position. But obviously, we will have to wait and see how the Supreme Court decides to really take a position on how we're going to speak about this and message this to to our communities.
Paul, in that same New York Times report from April 23rd, LibTech also reported that the Supreme Court's conservative majority seemed ready on Tuesday, as he described it, to allow the Trump administration to add the citizenship question, Tuesday being April 23rd. How likely do you think it is that the Supreme Court decision on this census question will play out along partisan lines, currently 5-4 in the court in favor of the conservative majority?
So it's difficult to try and determine how the court is going to rule based only on oral arguments, because the justices are asking questions for two reasons. One is for themselves, and the other is that they're trying to make their case to their colleagues. We can be certain that there are a few of the liberal justices. We know where they are. We know where a few of the conservative justices are. There are a few justices on the court, including Roberts, who we won't really know where they are until they see the ruling.
Wenny, one of the standout moments in the Supreme Court's oral arguments over the citizenship question was, of course, Justice Brett Kavanaugh evoking international law, saying, quote, "The United Nations recommends that countries ask a citizenship question on the census, and a number of other countries do it. Spain, Germany, Canada, Australia, Ireland, and Mexico add a citizenship question." What would be your response to Justice Kavanaugh's argument there?
Yes. So I would actually just go back to what happened in New York when they're arguing about the procedure. If the Commerce Department of Commerce does believe that there is value in having a citizenship question, why did not go through the original avenues that we would test every question we have on the census and include it then, instead of this haphazard way of just pushing this along without the testing, without the protocols and the procedures? And I think on a procedural standpoint, the citizenship question is unconstitutional, and it violates what we had put forth as a country. And regardless of how it is done in other countries, these systems that we created were meant for something, and they shouldn't be ignored.
Paul, I realize, Wenny, you are immigration activists, not sociologists, but do you believe this process of one census every 10 years via paper, via canvassers, is the most effective method for the country to use? Are there perhaps more modern versions of the census that would still fulfill our constitutional obligation?
So there are several surveys in addition to the census, and one of them is the American Community Survey that goes into much more in depth than the general census does. And for that, as we sort of think about why this question would be added, We already have methods to determine who is and who is not a citizen in this country through the American Community Survey. That's a question that's been asked on that survey. And that data is sound enough that we can extrapolate it for the entire country. So we can know the answer to how many non-citizens reside in the U.S. without it being on the census. So one of the questions that we've been trying to get the administration to answer is, why include a citizenship question on the census when we know doing so would lead to an undercount, when we can get that answer through other methods and do it accurately?
I also just wanted to add that this upcoming census in the year of 2020 will be the very first time that the census is going to be administered digitally. So there will be, and whenever we make that transition to the digital phase, there will be a huge gap to fill. And we're really, especially in this day and age where we're always seeing articles online about Facebook and data breaches, if there is a fear of just sharing information on the internet. And so I think that's something that we have to, as a community, also recognize as the challenge to the census. And that making that shift from paper to digital isn't always in such a quick fashion, isn't necessarily always the best case because of the climate that we are in,
where things can be hacked and information can be accessed through illegal means, you mean?
Correct. So I think even though the census data is technically protected, it's always the perception of and how our communities see data sharing and the imminent threats that that can pose. And that's why, as community advocates, we are starting not in 2020, but we're starting our conversations on the census and its importance and debunking these fears and myths around using internet to share information, especially pertaining to the census in our communities, and encouraging folks to participate.
I'm speaking with Wenny Chin and Paul Westrick of the New York Immigration Coalition, one of the original plaintiffs in the legal action now before the Supreme Court. You're listening to Trump Watch. My name is Jesse Lent. Paul, it is illegal for law enforcement agencies to use census information for criminal prosecutions. In light of that, how much of a risk do you believe there is that this citizenship question, this information could be used by, say, Immigration and Customs Enforcement or other government agencies?
There's always a risk, and you're right. It is illegal for the Census Bureau to share personal information or personally identifiable information with other government agencies, but people don't believe that. Part of why this is so difficult, this census effort, is that this administration has no credibility within so many communities across this country, and especially within immigrant communities. So those communities simply don't believe that this administration will follow the law and keep their information private. So there is a real concern, just looking at the extent to which, this administration has used minor infractions and other things to justify deportation proceedings. So there is real concern about what they will use with this information. There is also just concerns about perception, where we can hear, from the Census Bureau many, many times, as they have said, that they will not share this information. But if the communities don't believe it, that just really makes it that much more difficult to get them comfortable filling out the census.
Wenny, if the Supreme Court rules in favor of allowing the immigration question, the citizenship question, rather, on the census, will your organization, the New York Immigration Coalition, advise the immigrant communities that you serve to fill out the 2020 census, or to leave that question blank, or to skip the census altogether?
Well, we certainly would encourage folks to skip the census. By law, they have a responsibility to fill out the census, and no advocates can tell people to not fill out the census. However, we will approach it with caution and provide a lot more education around what census is important to those communities. And also, we recognize that some people, regardless of what you say to them, will not fill out the census because of these very valid fears of not knowing what that data would be used for. So we will also work with other communities, like the children under five community that have also been traditionally undercounted, and with African-American communities that are in the ages of 18 and 25 that are also highly undercounted. Make sure that those communities pick up the undercount that we might see from immigrant communities. But at the same time, we're not going to tell folks not to fill out the census because of the citizenship question. We'll continue to encourage everyone to participate. And quite frankly, we just don't know enough about the impacts of the citizenship question, because this is the first time it's happening. So we're also, as advocates, strategizing on a national level about how to approach this problem.
And so there wouldn't be a scenario where you said, yes, fill out the census, just don't answer that question. That wouldn't be a policy.
Not at this point. That's not our approach.
Paul, staying with the census here in our last minute, compared with everything else, you and Wenny and the entire staff at New York Immigration Coalition is engaged in, how important is this census question? Is this at the top of your list of things that the NYIC is prioritizing, or is this just another drop in the bucket of perceived inequities during the Trump administration?
This is one of our top priorities. We at NYIC, working through New York Counts 2020, have been working on the census, starting in 2017 and 2018 and 2019, and we will still be here working on this in 2020. This is a monumental undertaking that affects New York State, where we work, but all across the country for the next 10 years. And there are no do-overs. So if there is an undercount, if certain communities are not counted, we have to live with those consequences for the next 10 years. And those consequences are political representation. Those consequences are also over $700 billion in federal funding for programs that are really vital and that people really depend on. Medicaid, Medicare, everything from school lunches to SNAP to highway planning and construction. So the census affects literally every other issue and every other issue that people care about. And so it is one of our top priorities. We will be, still working on this as hard as we can. Wenny and I, and really there is a whole team of us at NYIC who are really dedicated to this, working with some other really great advocates and organizations across New York State and partnered with our national friends as well.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Wenny Chin, Senior Manager of Civic Engagement for the New York Immigration Coalition, and Paul Westrick, Manager of Democracy Policy for the New York Immigration Coalition. You're listening to Trump Watch. My name is Jesse Lent. And that's all for this week. Reggie Johnson engineered this program live. You can hear all 114 episodes of Trump Watch with Jesse Lent at soundcloud.com/TrumpWatchWBAI or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be preempted next Wednesday for WBAI special programming, but please join us again the following Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. when we'll break down a different aspect of the Donald Trump administration. Until then, I'm your host, Jesse Lent. Talk to you next time.
When I can't think straight and there's no escape, I've got the solace of you. Gotta go inside. Started back to the beginning, 'cause that's where my heart is. Gotta go inside, back where it started, back to the beginning, 'cause that's where my heart is. They can hurt me, jail my body, I'll still be free. They can take my land, tell me I'm not who I am. I've got the solace of you. A wise man said to know thyself, 'cause in the end there's no one else. Just the solace of you. Started back to the beginning, 'cause that's where my heart is. Gotta go inside, back where it started, back to the beginning, 'cause that's where my heart is. Gotta go inside, back to the beginning. Thank you.